Welcome to part two of Windows Azure IaaS webcasts. I'm Michael Washam. I'm a technical evangelist on the Windows Azure evangelism team. In this webcast, we're going to cover the basics of virtual machine networking. So how does it work in Windows Azure virtual machines? The first thing you need to understand before we dig into virtual machine networking is the networking boundaries. In Windows Azure, there is a concept called a cloud service. A cloud service is basically an entity that actually acts as a container for all the virtual machines inside of your for your deployment. So in this example, this is a diagram of one of our PaaS web and worker role models. It's not exactly virtual machines that we're talking about with infrastructure service, but it does build on the same service model. So a cloud service is the entity containing your virtual machines, and in this case we have a web role, which with PaaS a web role can have multiple instances. So I can say, okay, this web application will be deployed as web role 1, and I want 50 instances of it, and Windows Azure will automatically spin up 50 virtual machines to serve that content. And the same concept with worker roles. Each role can have multiple instances. And where a cloud service comes in, at the networking level at least, is all the virtual machines within this cloud service are all on the same network. So VM1 can talk to VM2, VM2 can talk to VM5, etc. And they can talk to each other through private URLs, through their dedicated IP. Now virtual machines are a little bit different. Each virtual machine is itself a role. But unlike our PaaS roles, you can only ever have one instance of a persistent virtual machine. So whenever you're talking a cloud service, you can have one VM role, and in that role, you can have exactly one instance. That doesn't mean you can only have one virtual machine. It just means one VM per role. Now, one other thing I want to talk about here is the idea of an implicit cloud service. In the previous webcast, you saw us create a virtual machine, a single virtual machine. One thing you didn't see was that there was no cloud service associated with it. Over on the left hand of the menu, it said cloud services 0. Now, the reason that is because I just said that all virtual machines work inside of a cloud service, is the Windows Azure Management Portal actually abstracts a single cloud service away. So if you're not working with multiple virtual machines, you don't really need to know that there is a cloud service there, so it just kind of hides it away. However, if you do have two virtual machines connected under the same cloud service, then it does appear. So this is the architecture of how two virtual machines can talk to each other on the same network. So we have VM1 in a role, and we have VM2 in a role. Again, each role only has a single instance, but now they're on the same network because they're contained inside of the same cloud service. So let's walk through and show you how we can actually create a virtual machine and connect it to another virtual machine inside of a cloud service. So I'm going to flip over to the management portal, and you can see here that we do have, this is a virtual machine we created from the last webcast, and just like I said, there are no cloud services listed in our portal. So what I want to do is go ahead and create a new virtual machine, and we're going to connect it to the existing virtual machine. So I'm going to do the same thing before. I'll select Windows Server 2012, October 2012. Call this MyVM2. Give it a password. And just like its counterpart, I'll put this as large. And this time around, I'm going to click connect to an existing virtual machine. And you notice it finds my virtual machine, MyVM1. And you notice the host name, MyVM1 Demo Service. So I'll go ahead and select that. I'll pick the same storage account I used before. Clicked OK in the checkbox. And now this is actually going to take this virtual machine and add it to the existing cloud service of the previous virtual machine. So whenever this is updated, you'll actually see a cloud service pop up here magically. Now that the virtual machine is far enough along into the provisioning process, you can see that our cloud service is actually there. So if I click on the cloud service, you can see that not all role instances are ready. If I click instances, you'll see that MyVM1 is the one we created in the previous webcast is up and running, and MyVM2, the one we just created, is actually still provisioning. So again, it usually takes a few minutes to actually create. So while it's booting up, I'm going to go ahead and configure MyVM1 to allow ping to go through so we can demonstrate the network connectivity. So I'm going to go ahead and hit connect and log into MyVM1. And now that I'm logged in, I'm going to go over into Administrative Tools and Windows Firewall with Advanced Security. And here I'm going to enable ICMP, so whenever we boot up my VM2, we can actually ping the server and get a response. So I'm just going to open up both roles. I can't tell which one's IPv4 and IPv6. And that should be all we need to do to enable ping on this server. Now that our second virtual machine is booted up, let's go ahead and check to make sure we can connect. So I'm going to go ahead and open, log into this virtual machine as well. And I've already opened up the firewall on my VM1. So let's go ahead and ping my VM1. And we do get a response. And you notice that it's a 10.79 address, which is not the same as our public IP. So these are private IP addresses that are allocated by Windows Azure whenever we deploy virtual machines. Final thing I want to show is how to configure the load balancer between these two virtual machines. So say we want to open up an additional network endpoint, like port 80 for websites, and we want to configure a load balancing between these two servers. Now that our virtual machine is booted up, let's go ahead and log into that and double check that ping works in network. They are indeed on the same network. So I'll go ahead and log into my VM2. And remember, I've already enabled ICMP on my VM1. So I'm going to go ahead and ping my VM1. And you do see that we get a response. And it is using the internal IP addresses 10.79 as opposed to the public IP addresses that you can see on the Windows Azure Management Portal. These IP addresses are allocated for our cloud service by Windows Azure. So let's jump back to the slides real quick and we'll talk a little bit more about this name resolution, how that actually just worked. So the first thing you should know, you've already seen, is that whenever you provision a virtual machine in Windows Azure, you do have full control over the virtual machine name. We can name that MyVM1, MyVM2, whatever we want, up to the NetBIOS name limit, I think 16 characters. Second thing you should know is whenever you provision virtual machines in a cloud service, just like we did, name resolution just works. You can ping MyVM1 from MyVM2, and this is all using DNS. We actually have a multi-tenant DNS server that answers requests, and your VMs register themselves in this DNS server. So broadcasts and NetBIOS broadcast name resolution, such as WINS and stuff, is actually not supported. This is all going through a multi-tenant DNS server. You also have the option for bringing your own DNS server. So if you don't want to use ours, you want to have full control over internal DNS, such as Active Directory, you can do that as well. And we'll cover that more advanced scenarios like that in future webcasts. So how the connectivity works, you saw that we have one cloud service, which means we have exactly one public-facing IP address, but we do have two virtual machines. So how can you access each virtual machine on its own port through a public endpoint? That works through a feature called port forwarding. And you've probably, you know, if you've ever done any kind of advanced settings with your home router, you know that what this does. Essentially, RDP, Remote Desktop Protocol, listens on port 3389. So I can have VM1 and VM2 both listening on 3389 internally, but on the public IP, I actually need to assign these two different endpoints. So for VM1, I might forward 5586, and for VM2, I'll have 5587. And the load balancer will then translate that port from 5586 to go to VM1 on 3389, and 5587 will translate to VM2 on port 3389. So this is how you can actually have multiple virtual machines listening on the same port independently. If you want to have them listening on the same port in a load balance fashion, you use a different kind of endpoint configuration called load balance set. And this is where you take each virtual machine and you assign an endpoint to it, listen on the same port, public port and private port, and tell Windows Azure to actually load balance this traffic. So let's go ahead and walk through how to configure this. So I've already configured my VM1 and my VM2 to have IS installed, so we have a web server. What I want to do to demonstrate load balancer is I'm really just going to edit the default web page that comes with IS to put the machine name in it. So this is the home page for IS, nothing fancy here. I'm just going to put a little bit of HTML, put a break, and the name of the machine, my VM1. Okay, and now I'm going to go over to my VM2 and do the exact same thing. That way, whenever we browse to this from the public internet, we can tell which machine the content's actually being served from. And my VM2. Now that we've actually have our fancy website up and running, let's go ahead and go into each instance, and I'm going to add an endpoint. So I'm going to add an endpoint for port 80 on my VM1. We'll just call this endpoint name web. And notice you have TCP and UDP. HTTP runs over TCP, so we'll put this on 80 and 80 and click OK. Now it'll take a few minutes for this endpoint to be configured. And once it's configured, we do have to wait for this endpoint to be finished before I can configure the load balanced endpoint on the second machine. Okay, now that our web endpoint has finished creating, let's go to VM2 and we'll create another endpoint. So I'll click Add Endpoint, and this time I'll select load balance traffic on an existing endpoint. It's like Web 80, and I'll name this one Web, and private port 80. And you notice public port is disabled because it retrieved those settings from the existing endpoint. And I'll go ahead and click OK. Now that the second endpoint has been created, you can see in the status that it does say load balanced, yes, public port, private port. Let's go ahead and test to make sure that the load balancing is actually working. To do that, I will go to the dashboard of the virtual machine. I will get the cloud service URL and launch a browser, paste that in. You can see that our first content is being served from my VM2. Hit F5, my VM1, VM2, VM2, VM1, etc. So you can see that the load balancing is working. So that's pretty much it for this section of the webcast. Keep in mind for next time. The next webcast will be focused on migration, so we'll talk about how to get virtual hard disks from your on-prem environment up to the cloud. Thanks.